Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas!
And we're off. Welcome to another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean with Ryan and JJ.
Hello.
What's up?
We are continuing on our draft preview, our NFL draft preview extravaganza, three episode arc right here. This week, we're going to be covering the other offensive positions after we covered quarterback last week. Right off the bat, let's start with wide receivers. First of all, it's a top-heavy class. It's actually pretty deep beyond that, too. But It's got three guys that are probably looking at top 10 potential in the draft. Patriots need wide receiver in a bad way, especially a high-end playmaking wide receiver. So we got personal stakes in this. Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, all projected to go top 10. For the past 2 years, we've all just been salivating over Marvin Harrison Jr. And then Malik Nabers is making this dark horse, Seabiscuit-like push on the outside. And you could totally understand why. I mean, his testing numbers are off the chart, And it's totally backed up on the field. And it's one of those, like, I don't think there's a wrong choice, honestly.
No.
Between those two guys, I think Adunze is definitely in the third place, but he's got a lot of great traits on his end. James, of those three guys, who do you feel like should go highest in the draft?
Well, Marvin Harrison Jr. just seems like is the number one. As you said, he's just got so much stock and hype and the name. You know, his dad was, I think, going to be a Hall of Famer. Is a Hall of Famer. Receiver.
I don't think he made the Hall of Fame.
He'll get in.
It's kind of bizarre.
I feel like he'll eventually get in. I mean, he was pretty difficult to cover back in his day. But anyways, you know, kind of the just if he's not taken first, it's going to be a surprise. Not that it's going to be a bad decision by the team who takes him not number one, but or who passes him up. I mean, but he's kind of got all the traits. He's a blazing fast guy. He can make contested catches. He's got great hands. I mean, there's really not a lot you can say negatively against him. But my favorite really is Nabers. My brother talked about him a lot during the college football season, so I did get to watch him a little bit and pay attention to him. You know, he's only listed at 6 feet. Is that right? Am I looking at the right thing?
Nabers, that sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6 feet, but
he's not a tall guy.
He is just a freak athlete. I love the way he plays. He's got that fluid receiving style. I mean, he's kind of the guy I would like to go with. He's just so smooth on the outside there. His jumping ability for contested catches is incredible. Maybe some of the best I've seen in a long time. He beats guys out all the time. I mean, he's got all the traits except for the height, really. You know, his vertical is ridiculous. His broad jump is insane. You know, everything he's got is just off the charts. 6 feet, 200 pounds. Pretty good. You know, that can be a number one receiver.
Yeah,
good enough.
Good, yeah.
It's not the 6'4 Marvin Harrison or Adunze. I think he's like 6'3 or something too. So there's a lot of big dudes in this draft. You know, after that's Brian Thomas Jr., Mitchell. You know, there's some big 6'4, 200 pounder guys in this draft. So like you said, it is definitely top heavy. I just watching Nabers play is very exciting to me. I think that's a big reason the quarterback over there at LSU did so well and has had such a great draft stock is because he had Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. to throw to, which is just
silly.
It's like, all right, you know, you got two guys being drafted in what, the top 15, and one of them's probably going to end up being a top receiver in the NFL. So yeah. A little bit of Mac Jones going on there. I don't know. We'll see.
Isn't it funny how reminiscent this is of the Joe Burrow whole thing? Like, Joe Burrow comes out of nowhere, his senior season, it's incredible. Mm-hmm. Just like Jaden Daniels. Joe Burrow was thrown to Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, and Daniels was thrown to Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. It's such a mirror image and so crazy that it happened in the same uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah, LSU puts out really good receivers. I think all three of these top guys would be considered the best receiver in almost every draft since probably, I would say, Ja'Marr Chase. coming out, and even he had that shortened season where he got hurt, I believe.
He skipped COVID.
Yeah. Okay. Marvin Harrison stands out. I mean, 6'3", 209, huge wingspan, everything. Arms, he's fast. He knows how to run routes. He understands working back towards the ball, finding soft spots and zones, breaking off of stems, real tempo shift. Not great after the ball, but I mean, you're really nitpicking there. We haven't seen a guy this dominant coming out. I mean, he was just teams were scheming for him, and he was scoring two, three touchdowns in a game, and it was like, okay, well, I don't know what you do with that. You know, it's pretty clear he's the number one wide receiver for me. After that, I think there's a debate between Neighbors and Odunze, different types of players. Neighbors, super explosive, easy separation, which is, I think he's probably the best separator in this class. And he's not even 20. He's 20. I think he turns 21 in like 2, 3 months, maybe even 4 months. He's not even 21. All these guys are 21, or I mean, in Neighbors' case, he's 20. So, I mean, huge. Huge talent there, 4.38 speed. Jesus. There's nothing that I watch Neighbors tape, and there's nothing that jumps out to me like he can't do this. You know, he can't do, he can play, you could play him in the slot, you could play him outside. Odunze, different type of player, really good speed, 4.45. You know, bigger guy, 2.12, 6'2", 2.12. So, you know, we were getting, I think, a little bit concerned the last couple of years with some of these guys coming out 5'8", 5'9", 170.
165, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's like, well, you know, is this the going to be the way things are trending? And I think this year is kind of resetting it to be like, you know, we need there's a big need for X's, true X's in the NFL, especially with you know, the influx of smaller guys. But all these guys are, I mean, Odunze catches everything, man. I mean, Penix was just putting the ball up where he had a chance, and he would win it almost every time. The contested catches are fucking silly. So top three definitely to me is outstanding. I don't think the Patriots have a chance at any of these guys unless they do something crazy and not take a quarterback, which they
Yeah, right.
could. Yeah.
That's one of the things I thought as soon as we saw, as soon as we started digging into the draft and having the number three overall pick, it's you end up looking at all these guys that are now available, where like the last 20 years, we were like, okay, let's look at the best prospects. Okay, let's skip all the way down to number 30. This is who's realistic for us to get. Where now you're at three, you're like, everybody's probably available. And so you end up looking at these receivers and you're like, oh, I want the receiver. Oh, I want this tackle. We'll talk about them next. But like, oh, I want all these guys, but you can only take one. It's pretty frustrating. I'm in Marvin Harrison camp, just because it's been so many years, and it's kind of Larry Fitzgerald-esque, where it's this guy was just dominant for multiple years, and he comes out with an intelligence and a polish to his game where you're like, I just feel comfortable with that pick.
Yeah, it's not going to go
Yeah, how could you
wrong.
not? I think he reminds, if I had to do a comp, I would say AJ Green.
Yeah, AJ Green's a perfect comp. I was going to go there too.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing. JJ, I think your brother asked me who Marvin Harrison's the best receiver prospect since. And I was tempted to say AJ Green. I was tempted to go
Really? Yeah, I
all the
mean,
way back.
AJ Green, when he came out, was the de definitive guy. For
I have one
sure.
for Odunze that no one else has said. I see Jimmy Smith. Big
Jimmy
guy.
Smith.
Big guy, fast,
Okay.
strong, as he could beat you in a number of different ways. Contested catch, like you're not gonna out physical Rome Odunze. What about do you have a comp for Neighbors? The explosion's crazy.
I'm trying to think someone that with his size. The thing about Neighbors too is just the way he catches the ball. You know, one thing I always look for college receivers is making sure they catch the ball away from their body and use their hands. And I feel like he might have been the guy that does that the best. I mean, I don't know. Maybe
It's tough
Keenan
with the
Allen's a
size.
little bigger than him. Maybe a
Yeah.
Keenan Allen type of guy, like someone that could be a possession receiver in the NFL, like and hit a couple home runs, but
I see the explosion, man. I really have a hard time. Maybe Godwin. with
Godwin.
I think he could be a lot better than Godwin, to be honest.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
You, but
I mean, Godwin's had some great seasons. Don't sleep on Godwin.
No, I know. I know. But those are the three guys at the top. And then I think we turn our attention towards, I mean, it looks like there's going to be six, maybe seven receivers taken in the first round. Could
Dude,
possibly
there's a
be
wash.
More than that. I would say for me, I have a second tier, and then I have a bunch of guys underneath that. I have a top three in the second tier. I have Brian Thomas Jr.
Yep.
Who's another home run hitter. Ladd McConkey. Skinny white guy out of Georgia, runs just ridiculous routes and fast, very fast, 4.39 speed. I mean, even Thomas, 4.33. And Adonai Mitchell, AD Mitchell, the transfer from Georgia. I mean, these guys are all legit prospects. Kid ran a fucking
big size dude too, you know. McConkey not as much, but Mitchell, Brian Thomas Jr. I'm seeing a list that's 6 feet, 185, so he's not small. I feel like a few years ago 185 would have been a little on the, you know, thinner side, but now that, you know, you have guys like Smith running around there for the Eagles, it's like,
yeah,
he's 165. I mean, he's probably put on weights, but when he came out, you go back to our podcast the last couple of years and you see us bitching about, like, how are receivers coming? How's the top guy coming in the draft at 165, 170?
Yeah.
So you're not seeing that this year. Devonta Smith, it's like,
who just got a huge deal. 3 years, 75.
And so there was someone last year too who was pretty highly touted, and he was like 170.
There was a couple guys, and there was one guy who was a corner, Emmanuel Forbes, who was like 165.
Yeah, right.
Went the pick before Christian Gonzalez.
Generally, you see those guys 165, and they're a little bit shorter, where you're looking at some of, you know, I guess, I don't know if there's any outliers in this class. I guess Xavier Worthy would be, because he's 5'11", 165. He's not in my second tier.
He's a burner, dude. I know you're not.
We'll get to him. I want to stick into the second tier. For me, it was, and I know, Sean, you had to step away for a second. I had in my second tier, Brian Thomas Jr., Ladd McConkey, and Adonai Mitchell. I have three in my second tier. I could possibly move a couple guys up, but I see kind of a line after those three guys.
Yeah. I agree, except for Adonai Mitchell. I was just kind of underwhelmed with him in big games.
Okay.
And I'm a little peeved that he was listed at 6'4", 225, and he measured in at 6'2".
Yeah.
That really annoys
still a good
me.
Size, though.
Every
I
time
mean, that's,
that happens.
Schools do that like crazy.
6'2", 205.
That's like, what he would listed at?
He listed at 6'4", 220, I believe.
Yeah, right. No, I'm seeing 6'4" on this website.
And then he measured at the combine at 6'2", 205.
Yeah, he's got a lot of what you want. 6'2", 205, ran a 4.3, 4.40 with a 1.48 split. That might be the second fastest 10-yard split. It is the second fastest 10-yard split of, I think, any receiver in this draft that's not in, like, the top 40.
Mitchell.
Yeah, Adonai Mitchell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only person to run a faster 10-yard split was Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, teammates. Crazy.
Yeah. And they had a lot of mouths to feed there, too. I think that should be said.
That's true. The tight end as well. I'm kind of a Troy Franklin guy.
Okay.
I like Franklin out of Oregon. I'm a little worried about the weight.
176.
Slender dude. Tall.
Lanky.
I'm getting Tyquan Thornton vibes out of it, which is giving me the willies.
I think he's got a better feel for the position than Thornton does. The way he works back to the ball when Bo Nix is in trouble, you can see, like, he gets it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I would feel a lot better if he was 190.
I have him in tier three. Do you have a tier? A second tier?
Not a hard tier. No, I just have that top tier. And then everybody else is kind of jumbled in there. And then I'm also partial to a bunch of, like, the smaller slot receivers. Partial to Roman Wilson, just as a compete level guy. And also anybody that wears number one at Michigan, you know he's kind of an alpha.
Yeah. Yeah, good player.
Yeah, you know that. So that puts one in his camp for me.
He was incredible at the Senior Bowl.
Roman Wilson was?
Oh, my God, man. He was him and I want to say it was him and the corner from Tulane, whose name is escaping me. Oh, Quinyon Mitchell. We're going at it. And it was back and forth, but, I mean, Roman Wilson, he's going to get open. You know, if you want to take him in early second round, you have a guy there that's definitely going to get open. There's a lot of receivers here, huh? I'm looking at.
There are, dude. And there's some sleepers too that I like. That I think I don't know whether they'll go in the second or third round, just because, you know, like we've said, usually there's a huge run of defensive players, and we're going to defense next week. Seems like, especially when I talk to Ryan, there's not as much depth at, you know, a lot of those key positions on defense where usually most of the guys are taken in the draft. So maybe there's a run on these receivers. There's a couple guys in here, though, that are, I think, are sleepers, second, late second, third, fourth rounders, that you could get some starters there.
Yeah, you could. I think there's 10, potentially 10 guys that could go in the top 40.
Damn. Yeah, you know? I've heard as high as 8 or 9 in the first round. Should just be bananas.
I think there's 6 locks. That's according to my board, but I think Xavier Worthy, someone's going to reach on him.
Because my brother is keeps talking up Xavier Worthy. He thinks he's going to be a player.
I get it. The speed, you know, you can't teach speed, but I can't count speed twice is something I heard Trevor Sikkema say, and I agree with it. The thing about him is you want to use that speed. They had to scheme him open largely, you know, and he wasn't really the deep threat that you would think you were getting with a guy with that speed. Like, he just.
That's always the worry with those guys is,
right,
you're like, oh, he's incredible with the ball in his hands, but how do we get the ball in his hands? It was the old Tavon Austin, Percy Harvin conundrum.
Right. Right. And then you lay a finger on the guy.
He goes flying.
And he's not catching the ball anymore. Like, he's knocked off his route completely. You know, maybe he catches some flags for that. You know, maybe he could pull some flags out. But 4-2-1 is appealing. So, I mean, if you want to take the guy in the first round, I can't really fault
Isn't
you.
It? I think that's the fat. He ran the fastest 40. Isn't it ever?
Ever. Ever.
He beat John Ross. Was it John Ross?
John Ross had it. Yeah, 4-2-2. And that's excluding the mythical 40s for Deion Sanders.
Yeah, the Deion Sanders
4.19. I don't know. Right. Maybe he was fucking fast as shit. Man, there's so many good athletes in this class.
Yeah, why don't we go to one of these balls of clay? Xavier Leggett, South Carolina.
I'm a fan, dude.
I think everybody is. There's a lot to like.
Yeah, you write his name with those measurements in the guidebook, and you're like, oh, how is this guy not going to go in the first round? And it makes you wonder, like, he's probably one of those guys that's not going to see the 40s in this draft, just based on what he can do that you can't teach. You can't teach that height, that size, that speed.
Late developer. He didn't really do anything until
he did
this
nothing.
Year.
They said 450-ish yards combined 4 years. This year, 1,200 yards.
I was a little,
and he was making plays too, like a lot of plays.
I know. South Carolina had some players this year. I was looking at his tape, and I'm like, oh, this guy's got to be like 6'3". Measured at 6'1", which is a little disappointing. Weighed 223, and then he went out and ran what, like a
4.39.
Jesus, a little bit
at
older.
220, dude.
Yeah,
it's like a running back. He's like an old running back, basically.
He's a big boy, man. Appealing. Do you ever hear him talk?
No.
Oh my God, it's the most country Southern accent. You could not,
like Tyreek Hill when he first came into the league.
No,
you
worse.
Remember Tyreek?
Worse, dude. He sounds like a good old boy.
Oh, really?
You know, it's when you hear him talk, dude.
Dude, do you remember Tyreek when he came into the league? They first interviewed him at his locker. I'll never forget that. I couldn't understand a word he said. I was like, where the hell is this dude from?
Where did Tyreek go to school? Do you remember?
He went to Oklahoma State, and then he got kicked out, and he went to like Western Nebraska or something.
That's probably why.
One of those.
Yeah. Keon Coleman. Did you guys mention him yet?
No.
Polarizing. We haven't talked about he's.
I was just going to bring him up. Granny, you're taking all my fucking sleepers. Clearly, we like
I'm
the
not,
same
I didn't
mold.
Take him. I brought him up for discussion.
I know.
Do
clearly,
we need to table this discussion so you could settle whatever this beef is that you got?
No.
Keon Coleman was mocked.
You're reading
to the
my mind.
Is it because Mel Kiper predicted the Patriots were going to draft him at 34
no.
this year?
I was just looking at his measurables. I like him. Like the way he plays from his highlights.
Yeah, I was watching Jordan Travis tape, and I was like, who is this guy that is catching every single ball?
Pass.
And sure enough, it's Keon Coleman, transfer from Michigan State, only played the 1 year with the Seminoles. Just all over the field, making plays up and down. Yeah. Good size. I think he's 6'3", 220-ish. So another one of these larger wide receiver frames. Runs a lot of drag routes, a lot of like slow developing across the field type things. Good at the point of catch. 4.6 40
not
is
great.
An issue.
I don't like
well,
it. I don't like they had him in the first round for the longest time. Like
and then he measured at a 4.61 and he got bumped out.
Yep.
Well, no, I haven't liked him all season. I've been saying like he makes these circus catches and then like he goes missing. And then they throw him contested balls. He only catches like a third of his contested catches, which is weird for his size and his jumping ability. This is a guy who played basketball for Michigan State and transferred this year. Like to play basketball at Michigan mm-hmm. State is not a joke.
No.
Super talented. You can see it with the circus catches. I don't think he's a good route runner. Not that he needs to be at that size and that length, but I just don't see the nuance to his game I wanted to see. You know, he's targeted 87 times. He only catches 50 balls. I know Jordan Travis got hurt, and they had, I don't even know who. Is Jordan Travis, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even him, like, I just didn't think it was good quarterback play at all. You know, the a lot of the balls thrown to him were not good balls. And he
sounds
just,
like you're talking him up.
Maybe I am a little bit, but for I mean, he was talked
for not
about
liking him.
He was talked about in the first round. Like,
oh yeah,
I just
Kiper talked about him in the first round, top 15
really?
Even.
That's a big gamble. That's a big gamble, man. For a guy he doesn't separate and he doesn't get contested catches. Like,
that's the issue for me. Is those guys, the big body guys that had success in college and don't have the speed to separate at the next level. I'm reminded of like Brian Rubisky is how this can go badly. And Michael Pittman Jr. is how it can go well.
Yeah.
But you're still limited on both ends.
Yeah, I see it. I mean, second round, sure. I mean, I
will
like...
say it. I feel like he looks like one of those players that has more game speed than like 40.
That's
like
a good point.
40.
He ran the gauntlet. He ran the gauntlet at the combine. He was the fastest guy clocked in the gauntlet. He ran like 22.
Right. I mean, and it's like,
which was famously Puka Nacua's accomplishment last year.
Boom. There you go. That's a good comparison. So, I mean, you watch him play. He's separating from guys. You know, he is faster than a lot of the people on the field, which is good. But then a 4.61 isn't that fast. So if he only can run a 4.61, it would be tough to see him separating the way he does on some of the, and he's just athletic. You know, he's one of those guys, he's jumping over people, he's spinning out his tackles. I mean, he seems like he's just kind of got that it factor a little bit, which is a thing for receivers, kind of like you're talking about Puka Nacua. He tested well at that, and is very successful in the NFL. Was one of the most successful rookie receivers we've seen in a long time. Not to say that this guy is him at all, but the mold isn't always what you expect, you know.
Yeah, I could see him being successful. I mean, he's got some burst. The route running is very average to me. I don't see the separation and the contested catches. Like, how are you going to get open? You know, if you can't make those circus catches every time, you know?
Yeah.
And the circus catches were unbelievable. I'll give you that. Like,
yeah. I do have him in the second half of the second round, but I do think he's a second round player.
Yeah.
I agree. Another guy that catches some circus passes and I think is really getting slept on in this draft is Ricky Pearsall. He had probably the best catch I've ever seen this year. Kind of like an Odell Beckham Jr. catch.
I remember this one.
But, I mean, he's fast. He can really run routes. He might be, I would argue, he's up there with the best route runners in this class. get some numbers on him. But have you guys watched this guy play at all?
I remember that circus catch.
No.
That one was everywhere.
Yeah.
No, I don't know much about him. I won't.
Ricky Pearsall coming out of Florida.
Yep.
Looks like tends to be ranked around the 10 to 12 range for receivers in this class.
Yeah. Well, that sounds about right. But I think he's got big upside. I would take a look at him. I don't know about 34.
4-4. Ran a 4-4, 6-1.
34 for the Patriots is a tricky number because you would really love one of those first round players to drop there, and then all these that second round group, that tier three in on Ryan's board, it feels like a reach at 34. It just feels a little reachy.
It does. Fifth year senior too. I know he was an Arizona State transfer. He played with Jaden Daniels when he was there, and when Jaden Daniels transferred, I think he left too. So went to Florida. I watch him play. And the nuance and the tempo changes and then the quick cutting, you know, to get out of his stem. I think there's a lot of upside there.
How about the legacy receivers in this? Jerry Rice's son, Brendan Rice, Luke McCaffrey.
I like Luke McCaffrey, man.
Ed McCaffrey's son coming out of Rice. Both guys projected to be third, fourth, fifth round, somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm.
McCaffrey's got good size. Brendan Rice is actually pretty big, but didn't produce that highly with Caleb Williams as your quarterback. And you're like, are you going to be in a better situation than playing Pac-12 defenses with Caleb Williams as your quarterback to put up big numbers?
Mm-hmm.
Hard to justify. McCaffrey's got some good measurables. Rice,
McCaffrey's just your quintessential slot fucking possession receiver. Very much like Renfro the year he came out. I know Renfro's kind of died down in recent years, but he seems like that player. You can kind of just from watching his tape, you can plug him in and he can get you, I don't know, 400 or 500 yards rookie year without missing a beat.
Yeah. And he's also 6'2".
Yeah, he's a big guy. He ran like what, like a 4.45 or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Luke McCaffrey, I think I have in the 20s. Brendan Rice, I think I have like 18 or something like that. I like this kid, Javon Baker, former Alabama player, transferred to UCF. Not really the fastest guy, ran a 4.54. But when you watch him play, I think he really understands how to separate, cut in and out of routes. Good size, 6 feet, 202. Guy you could get later. I think maybe the fourth round. I think you'd get a steal there. I like the way he breaks out of his routes. Smooth player, catches everything, good length. It's a guy I would definitely take a look at later. Do you guys have any? Another one, Malachi Corley. You guys watch Malachi Corley at all? Western Kentucky?
No,
I haven't. Enlighten us.
It's like the Deebo Samuel build. They run. I don't know if there's a place for him in New England because we have, you know, DeMario Douglas and Marcus Jones for those kind of screen explosive plays. But Malachi Corley, I don't have his size right in front of me, but
5'11", 215.
Yeah, running back. He's a running back.
Yeah.
And they put him out at wide receiver, and he's just a tank, and he's getting all these comparisons to Deebo. I don't think it's quite the same as far as explosiveness, but, I mean, it's a guy that you find a place for if you draft. Like, he definitely can catch the ball and create huge plays. So, and he does not avoid contact, man. He's looking to hit. So
he's like Deebo in that range.
He's a lot like Deebo, man. I love him.
That's good. One thing Deebo did was led the nation in return yards. He was the best returner in the country, which is, I mean, it doesn't mean he has to return at the next level, but it tells you that he's really good in open space.
Right. You know what?
Which is Deebo.
The return game might be back.
I know. Yeah. With this new kickoff rule.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how that, what plays out there. One guy that it's an interesting prospect, Malik Washington, 5'8.5", super, super shifty guy.
I love that.
You know, great vertical jump. Kind of reminds me of our pick last year, our sixth rounder there, who ended up being pretty good. This guy, you know, 42.5-inch vertical jump is insane for someone that's 5'8". I mean, that's ridiculous.
He's small,
10-6 broad jump, 19 bench press.
I love him. I think he's
really
just
shifty on the field.
I think he's just DeMario Douglas, though.
Well, that's the thing. Is he going to be DeMario Douglas again? I mean, I don't know. If the Patriots get him, is he too much like that? But
he's like that Tank Dell type, you know? Dude, 92.4 receiving grade from PFF. That might be the highest. That might be the highest in the nation. 3.15 yards per route per run. I mean, it's fucking awesome. 1,384 yards, 9 touchdowns. Grade versus man to man, 88.7. Really good. 2.6 drop rate. He's fucking good, dude. This guy. I heard Dane Brugler talking about him too. As like, if he had to pick a guy in the later rounds that could be a star, Malik Washington from Virginia.
It's just tough because a lot of quarterbacks can't throw to someone that's 5'8".
If he's in the right system, like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you give him the Josh Allen, not happening.
Dude, if he went to like a, I would like
Lamar.
Obviously
Lamar
Kansas
can
City,
throw now to
Baltimore, not Baltimore, Buffalo. Buffalo using him out of the slot.
No, I don't think Josh Allen can throw to someone that's 5'8".
Eh, maybe not. I don't know. But Stephon Diggs wasn't very big.
He's like 6 feet.
Was he?
Yeah.
Eh.
6'1".
I like
Diggs
this
is
kid,
Diggs is bigger than you expect. He looks like really small. I don't know if he's got a small head or something. He looks like really small on TV, but then you look at his measurables and it's like he's like an average sized receiver.
Dude, I love Malik Washington. That's 138 targets, 111 catches. And this is the one. 35 missed tackles forced. That's best in the country.
That's pretty
one.
Fucking
number one
amazing.
In the country. So, yeah, he's
there. Good. You go. He's got the stats to back up that he's good in open fields.
What
do you say we move on to another position? We got a couple of positions to cover.
Sorry, one other guy, real quick, that I was going to talk about. The dude that was 6'7". What's his fucking name?
Oh, Johnny Wilson from Florida State.
Yeah, what do you guys think about him? 6'7", 235.
He's got lead feet.
Does he?
They're talking about him moving to
just a target,
potentially moving to tight end. Yeah, I actually like him. I like him for where I think he's going to get picked, which is, you know, something we don't always talk about. Like, I think that
he's got value there.
Yes, I think if you can get him in the third round, maybe the fourth round, there's a lot of upside there. He's got really good hands, you know, good jump ball player. I don't know if he can move to tight end. I don't see that kind of play strength, but interesting player. I think there's one other. Actually, I like Jamari Thrash later on. I like Tez Walker in the third round. Jermaine Burton is one to me that if he wasn't such a head case, and you hear this from a lot of different people at Alabama, I mean, this guy just gets it. You know, he knows how to play football. He does this really nice hesitation on go balls that gets the safety or corner to bite, and then he's gone. He's a really good potential player if he can stay out of trouble, keep his head straight. And by the way, since we're on topic, Juju Smith-Schuster posting dick pics on his Twitter or something. Ooh. On his Instagram, he had to delete. Like, dude, what are you?
Can that like void some sort of personal conduct policy, and we don't have to pay him our guaranteed money?
I really hope so.
I want this guy out of town.
That would be good. Okay,
it's shocking we brought him in.
We just covered like 20, 25 wide receivers. This is, I mean, it's a class where you can get somebody in the third round where you can talk yourself into some hope.
We left out some guys.
Left out a bunch of guys.
Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan.
I'm huge on Jalen McMillan. That's my guy from Washington. Aeneas Smith might go in the fifth round, and he's got sleeper potential.
Yep. Jacob Cowing from Arizona just gets open all the time. You know what? We didn't talk too much about, I guess we did talk about Troy Franklin, but yeah, I think we covered pretty well the top 20, I would say.
Yeah. All right, let's shift to tackles. Patriots, huge need at tackle. Mm-hmm. It's basically the talking point. If we don't take a quarterback, you're probably going to take a tackle.
Right.
I mean, the sexy pick is Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers at that point, but there is a potential that they draft a tackle at number 3, or if they take one of these trade back packages and they screw it up and the quarterback that they are hoping is going to be there at 6 or 7, whatever it is, isn't there. And then they wind up with a tackle, but there's probably going to be 5 to 7 first round tackles. It's another one of those. I mean, when you start naming the number of players in the first round at these positions, 5 quarterbacks, 6, 7 tackles, eight wide receivers. I mean, it takes up
the whole round.
Draft.
Is the whole Pretty round much. Is those? I
just offensive
God,
players.
I've never seen a draft that's going to be like this, where it's the three so premier heavy. Positions. I wish the Patriots had another first round pick so bad. But you don't want to miss out on that quarterback. I've never seen a draft that's got those three positions stacked to this level. High end guys, not just like depth guys. Like, this is really top heavy, and wide receivers even deeper. But
this isn't my favorite tackle class, but it's a really good tackle class.
I feel like it's pretty deep, especially
it's
with
pretty good
top potential starters, you know, first, early, second rounders.
Yeah. So the kind of the talking consensus is Joe Alt, Notre Dame, number one. I'm a Ole Fashanu guy out of Penn State. His movement ability is just next level.
Yeah.
When I'm thinking about left tackles, I'm more interested in movement than run blocking. I feel like run blocking belongs on the right side, but it's also kind of shifting in the NFL, where it's not that distinction between left tackle and right tackle as much as it had been in the past. Mm-hmm. So I can see somebody preferring that 6'8" kind of road grading left tackle. And then JC Latham out of Alabama, I've seen him as high as 10. I've seen him as low as like late 20s in these mm-hmm. drafts. He seems like he's got a lot of variation. A lot of people seem to like Talese Fuaga, massive right tackle, Oregon State. That dude moves people. He's like your prototypical right tackle. We're going to run the ball right and we're going to dominate. And then the guy that I really, really like is Troy Fatanu. I was really hoping he was going to be there at 34, but he keeps getting mocked in the teens.
Fa'utanu. Yeah.
Thank you. Fa'utanu. Now it's just harder to say. Now it takes longer. It's more syllables.
It's one of those fucking Hawaiian names.
He was dominant, absolutely dominant at Washington. He's probably the main reason why Michael Penix never had a dirty jersey.
Yeah.
And again, elite movement ability. He actually measured better than I thought he was going to. He came in at 6'4", 320 with 34-inch arms. I thought he was going to be in that like Isaiah Wynn 6'2.5" range.
Right.
So it's looking more feasible. Definitely on the lower side for somebody's left tackle scales, but he's my favorite guy. Not, I wouldn't say I would draft him first, but he's my favorite. He's the one.
You like him
more
than Fashanu or?
No. I have him as my third tackle.
Third favorite,
but he's my favorite.
I mean, I think, yeah, Joe Walt is just so freaking big. I mean, 6'9", 320. You do worry a little bit about the movement and the bending ability, but I don't know. I just feel like everyone's so, you know, Notre Dame just breeds offensive linemen. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like across the board here, these guys are all from like offensive line schools. It's Notre Dame, it's Alabama, it's Georgia, it's Penn State. Like, those are like the top guys, which is pretty good. I mean, you know, they're being coached well where they are because they just every year in and out, they're sending out first rounders. So I'm just going with Joe Alt there. Fashanu seems pretty good. I don't know. He's got some weird measurables. He's got really small hands. I don't know why that throws me off, but it does.
I know.
It's like,
me too.
How does a guy that's like 6'6", 300 fucking 20 pounds have smaller hands than me? I don't know, but it's just odd. So I don't think that, I know that probably doesn't translate like it does to quarterbacks or receivers, but it just throws me off. So
100% translates to offensive linemen. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to grab and push and, you know, Latham is from Alabama. They always, you know, usually put out pretty good guys. He's an absolute monster at 340 pounds. You know, seems like, it's offensive tackle. It's like it's tough to tell on tape, especially against some college play. You know, when you see the highlights or you're watching a game of tackle, it's like, who are they playing against? Like, that's always the biggest thing. You know, it's tough to say against for quarterbacks and receivers sometimes, like, okay, you know, open field stuff, but tackles, it's like they could be playing someone is never going anywhere, is going to be selling insurance in a year, and they're just absolutely dominating them. So it's kind of tough to tell. One dude I do kind of like is that Marius Mims out of Georgia. Just he's kind of raw. He doesn't really have the skill set that you'd expect from. I mean, I see him going what, like late first, probably second round type thing.
Right there.
He's 6'8", 340, just like Trent Brown size. And I know we've had some issues with Trent Brown, but when like Trent, and that's kind of the book on him a little bit too, is he going to be have the motivation, especially a dude that size? Like, are they going to be able to be motivated and, not miss out on blocks? And I know, from the read-ups I've read of him, that's kind of the thing, is will he stay motivated to play every down? But if you can get a dude like him motivated, he could be an absolute road grader.
Yeah.
So I do like that about him.
All right. So I had Joe Alt number one. I wanted to put Pishanu there. I had him for a while. The run blocking is next level. And then when you look at Joe Alt's pass blocking, as a former converted tight end, he's got five, I think, older siblings. He's the
Joe
youngest
Alt
of
does? Yeah.
five, so he's competitive. 21 years old, 6'8", 322, somewhere in that range, right? I mean, he moves really well. He's got such a good base. I love the way he redirects, and recovers from blocks. He's just, I think he allowed two hurries all year. Not sacks, not pressures, hurries. I mean,
Wow, yeah.
he's a beast. And Notre Dame's got a tough schedule, even though they're independent. I have a hard time moving Pishanu down much further than two. I can't not put him at two. When you look at his pass blocking skills, the way he moves, and he would have been probably a top seven pick last year. I think maybe he actually kind of hurt himself by going back to school at Penn State. You can't find pass blockers with that kind of nimbleness, movement skills, lateral movement skills. Maybe he's not the greatest run blocker. That was the knock on him, was the run blocking. Fuaga, you mentioned it, absolute monster, right? What do you want? You put him at right tackle, you don't worry about it for 10 years. He's just mauling people. He got a little bit of, this is probably selling him low, Vollmer. Like,
I mean,
just
Vollmer was like a 10-year
a
starter. It's not
brooding
selling
fucking.
him too low,
Well, no,
low, you know?
I think he has a chance to be much better than Vollmer, to be honest
Yeah.
with you.
Okay.
Fa'atanu, technician, a little bit older, 23 and a half. They say he could be utilized in a zone blocking scheme. I don't see it. I think that there was some talk about him moving over to guard, but because of his arm length, and then he did the arm length testing and it was fucking fine.
34 and
So
a half. Yeah.
yeah.
You know, it's weird
So
about a lot of these linemen, too, is going through their stuff. Sorry to cut you off, Ryan. A lot of them didn't test the bench, which
don't think they
used to
really need
be,
to anymore. Like,
I mean, that used to be the like thing for defensive and
it
offensive linemen.
separated people.
It's like, oh, that guy did 45 reps. Like, he's
No one
pretty
does
powerful.
45.
No, I know, but you know what I mean? Like, everyone's kind of in the 20s, and then someone would do like over 30 or something. And it's
Yeah.
like,
Well,
that dude is
it always
powerful.
wound up being the guys with the long arms could only do like 20
Right,
reps
less.
max. And the guys with the short arms were getting up like 36 reps. And you're
Right,
like,
right.
oh, this guy's jacked. And it's like, no. He's just going less
6 inches
for,
shorter.
yeah, he's not
Yeah.
moving the bar as far.
Yeah,
I
it
think.
will. And it's Ryan, you mentioned that you didn't know about some of these guys going to the top 10. Remember last year, too, a lot of, Skronsky, the dude from Georgia, like a lot of those guys were ranked, maybe in the teens or lower. And I think there was a run on tackles pretty early.
There
Weren't there like
was.
four tackles gone in the top 15,
Yeah, you
which
guys
was a
laughed at me
shock?
when we did our mock draft, and I took Paris Johnson for the Cardinals in the top
Yeah.
six,
And then he went, what,
and then he
nine or
went
something?
exactly there. No, he
Did he go
went to the
six?
Cardinals
He
at like
did. Oh, yeah.
six.
That's
Yeah,
right.
Darnell Wright, I think, went 10th or 11th last year.
Darnell
Darnell
Wright
Wright
went,
reminds me
he
a lot
went,
of Fuaga.
he went so high, man. I couldn't believe how high he went.
What did he end up
Yeah, I
doing?
like
Did he end up
Fuaga
doing
better.
anything?
I think he did pretty
He
well.
started, yeah. He did
Yeah.
pretty good. Skronsky, top 10. Broderick Jones actually lasted the longest to the
Yeah, like 17, maybe 16.
Steelers at 14.
How
14.
about,
and this is projected in a lot of mock drafts, how about Joe Alt next to Peter Skoronski?
Dude.
Jesus.
Dude.
Jesus.
Well,
You want to
that's
fix
what I'm
that
looking
offensive
at.
line? You fixed it. You just have to fill three positions on the other side. It's fine.
Yeah,
So
it's true.
that one to me is the biggest no-brainer of the draft. If he's still there at seven, go ahead.
Yeah, Titans would be so lucky. But you look at the teams above them, and it might be three quarterbacks, two wide receivers, and then the Giants. And what do the Giants do?
Well,
They
they
might take a
have.
receiver too. They just spent top five picks on tackles 2 out of the last 4 years.
The giant, yeah, they're crazy. I know Evan Neal is looking like a bust, but he's what, second year guy?
Yeah, you
Third,
can't.
second or third? Is
That
it?
was his second year last year.
Okay. So, I mean, maybe you kick him into guard, but you still have Andrew Thomas. You got some other good players there.
Yeah.
I don't know why it was as bad as it actually looked last year, but
But the Titans are they're kind of primed to get a tackle that's he would probably be a top five pick
I
most
know
years.
it's not sexy, but I mean, you got
Oh, who would be top five? Who
Joe
said?
Alt. I bet Joe Alt would be
Oh.
a top five pick most years.
Oh,
I think, oh,
definitely.
yeah. Oh, yeah. This is quarterback and wide receiver being this appealing. I don't know if we've seen it to
I
this
mean,
bad.
there's
To this
our there.
degree.
There's talk that there's going to be four quarterbacks gone in the first four picks, which I just don't think is going to happen. I actually heard a very interesting take on that from Paul Perillo, which made some sense. He's a Patriots beat writer. He said that he thinks that Harbaugh is just spinning the cycle on McCarthy so that people try and take him, so he has his pick at number five, which
I don't
isn't
buy it.
that crazy. I don't
That
know,
is
dude.
crazy.
He
I
keeps
know
spinning it.
people that I respect. I know Dane Brugler had, and this guy is unbelievable scout. You know, he does this 1900 player write up every year. It's fucking insane. So he had JJ McCarthy 19th on his big board all year. JJ McCarthy has always been considered a second or first round pick. Borderline.
Yeah.
He had this really good year where he was super efficient, showed some athleticism, you know, got the ball. We're moving on to quarterback a little bit here. I don't want to stray too far, but four quarterbacks in the top six picks is what I expect.
I mean, that's just what it seems like, what everyone's, oh, you know, all the people that are talking about it. Yeah.
Yeah, and
Or
you
he
know,
falls. You know, there's
last
always a chance that he falls to 20 or something.
Yeah.
You
Because
know,
it happens all
that
the time. There's
all the
always
time.
one quarterback that gets super hyped and falls.
Maybe it's not
Right.
McCarthy, but I still think there's going to be five or six guys taken. And last week I ranked McCarthy third. I want to be clear. I would not take JJ McCarthy number
Third
three over
overall.
third overall.
Right.
Even though I have him above Jaden Daniels, I would be more comfortable taking Jaden Daniels at three than JJ McCarthy, even though I like the player better. Does that make sense?
Because the upside's better. Is that why?
I think it's
Or just because you wouldn't
just
get
because
crushed in the media?
You haven't seen it, you're taking a huge gamble,
Yeah.
right? Like, I don't know if I made an ass out of myself with that, but
No.
does that, I don't know. I guess that's
Can
makes sense.
think that one over. You
Moving
still
back to
have a
the
week.
tackles.
You still have a week to change it.
Tying this to the Patriots, so sitting at 34, this is kind of the theme of this episode is this 34th overall pick is a very valuable pick.
Definitely.
And there are a couple tackles that might be there. James, you mentioned Amarius Mims before. Tyler Guyton out
Yeah.
of Oklahoma and Jordan Morgan is a guy that gets pointed to a lot. A lot of people think Jordan Morgan could be our pick at 34. These guys are not sure things. Once you get past those like top four or five guys, you end up there, they end up being dice rolls. And what we really want, I mean, the thing is, we don't even have competent left tackle play, never mind star left tackle play. So you're
Yeah,
tempted to be
so.
like, let's take somebody that we feel very comfortable can be competent. Maybe the upside isn't quite there. But if we just get somebody to shore things up on the left side so we don't have a giant sieve sitting over there.
I mean, you need it because, you know, you get a new quarterback, you don't get, you know, you get your quarterback and you sit him. I mean, it was a disaster last year. And we still had Trent Brown, who was playing half the games. And yes, he did quit in some plays and stuff like that. But he was the not number one. He was one of the top free agents at tackle this year. So, and he's gone. I don't know where he went. Did he go sign somewhere?
Nowhere. Oh, wait, Cincinnati.
Oh my God. Of
Yeah.
course, they took a
Yeah.
flyer on him. But it's like, you know, we went through our tackle position last week or the show before. I can't remember. It's a disaster. at left tackle. Like, you do not have someone you could plug in. I mean, maybe the guy from the Steelers we picked up in free agency. I know he was a backup. He could probably be somewhat serviceable, but that his contract doesn't say he's starting. You know?
Certainly not.
I think so, at 34, you are either going to have to reach on some of these guys as far as tackle, because I think a lot of them are going to be gone. I think Mims and who's the other Guyton. Project there? Guyton are going to be long gone.
Yeah.
Jordan Morgan is a guy that kind of fits the mold, but I think he needs to gain more strength, because you see him get bull rushed and he drops his head and he doesn't really have the answer. Guys get inside his pads. I don't think he has the longest arms in the world. I just want to see him add more strength. I think that could be done. He's a little bit, I guess, older, 22, maybe 23 by the time he plays. I would be more comfortable at three taking a project like the kid out of Yale, Kieran Amagaji, or Kingsley Suamatea. Nailed both those last names.
Did you? I was worried to say both those names, but I've been looking at those guys.
Kingsley Suamatea is, you know, they have on PFF here, perfect draft and develop guy. I don't know if we have the time or the patience to draft and develop a left tackle and a quarterback at the same time. But
a tall task.
21-year-old kid, moves really well, former track and field athlete. The size, the length you want. Run blocking is definitely not his forte at this point, but you're looking for a pure pass blocker to come out and kind of learn and develop and get better, maybe gain some strength. He's only 315 on a 6'6 frame right now. Put 10 pounds on him, see where he's at in a year. That to me is more appealing than
somebody that's capped in terms of their potential with that higher pick.
Yeah, and you know, some of these kids, 22, 23, you're saying they're capped. It's like, when I was 23, there was a lot of growth to be had, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I know. I'm in the camp of, unless one of those first round guys falls, the Mims, Guyton, Fautanu, then I go wide receiver at 34.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of with you. What about the dude that was opposite Joe Wall? Blake Fisher.
Blake Fisher. Yeah.
6'6", you know, what is he? 310 pounds. Seems like he can move. Well, also, you know, he's some issues, of course, because he's not a top rate guy. But what do you think about him? He seems like he could be there.
I think he's
he's a right tackle traditionally.
He's a little inflexible to me. A little stiff. Not really the quickest feet, I would say, with him. I watched a lot of Notre Dame. My dad grew up, you know, watching Notre Dame, so I watch him a lot. I think he's powerful, but I think he's just a right tackle. I think he's a right tackle is basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
All right. Tight ends.
Sure.
Tight end class highlighted by Brock Bowers out of Georgia. I was writing my report on him the other day, and I was just remembering, like, 2021, I'm a huge Darnell Washington fan. Every time I see him on the field, I'm like, big number zero.
Yep.
And this kid, like 19-year-old Brock Bowers, is just gobbling up every pass in sight and, like, basically pushing Darnell Washington out of the offense because he's that good. And now 2 years later, he's finally coming out, still an underclassman, incredibly accomplished, probably the most accomplished receiving tight end in college football that I can remember. Reminds you of Kyle Pitts that way, where it's like, this guy is a receiving threat at tight end. We're not going to be expecting him to be an inline blocker. It's none of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just, he's a weapon in the receiving game. Pitts had the height. Bowers has the production and is probably a lot better with the ball in his hand, which is why he's getting some of those George Kittle comparisons, although Kittle is known for his blocking game. So
Kittle? Was Kittle a fourth round pick?
He's a fifth round pick. I had him in the second.
Oh, look at you.
Just
look
saying.
At you.
Just saying.
What a guy.
So you highlight the ones that you got right and you forget about the ones that you got wrong, because there's way more of those. But yeah. So Brock Bowers is head and shoulders above everybody else at the tight end position. He's going to be the only first round player at that position. Afterwards, it opens up and it kind of becomes, well, what are you looking for? What are you into?
Right.
And every single one of the other guys has big question marks next to him.
Mm-hmm.
A couple guys to highlight. Theo Johnson at Penn State is an athletic marvel. The tape is okay. It's flashy. It's flashy tape, but it's not consistent tape.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just read some of his stats in terms of his measurables for you. It's Gronkowski like. It's 6'6", 33-inch arms, 260, 10-inch hands, 40-inch vertical, sub 4'6", 40. I mean, it's astonishing the level of athlete that this guy is, and you might be able to get him in the third round. I mean, that's when we drafted Dalton Keene. That's when we're drafting some
Jesus
of these terrible
Christ,
tight end
Devin
prospects. Devin Asiasi was a third. Keene was a fourth. But that's one guy to point out. Eric All, Iowa. Iowa cranks out tight ends. I mean, it's constant. It's never ending. Eric All
didn't
just
watch.
Couldn't.
I could barely find any.
Because he was injured. He was injured the entire time.
It's constant with Iowa. They're always putting out these guys that are like, was it Laporta last year?
Laporta. I was watching Laporta tape and I was like, this guy's good, but I know he's an Iowa tight end, so I'm going to push him to the back half of the first round.
That's crazy.
Just because he's an Iowa tight end. Now, Eric All has the injuries that are a serious problem. So that's going to come down to the medical, but you always want to take a chance on an Iowa tight end.
Eric All might be the guy I know the least about that I should know about, because some of these guys have him like tight end three. And I'm like, I barely saw anything. You know?
The tape's pretty good. He's talented. He's a strong player. He plays well with the ball in his hand, catches it well. Next one up, Ben Sinnott.
Yeah,
Kansas
Ben
State.
Sinnott, dude.
Ben Sinnott.
All right,
he's
so
a good
I know
one.
About him.
I
yeah,
really
he's
want
a good
him
player.
In the third round. Some people say he might be available in the fourth.
I don't want him in the third round. I want him in the fourth round.
Yeah.
Because we have other positions that just need attending to. You know, we need a tackle, a wide receiver, and a quarterback. So I'm really not even thinking about tight end until the fourth or fifth round.
Definitely.
We don't.
I mean, we need a tight end for sure. What do we have behind Henry?
We got Hooper, Austin Hooper. That's it.
Oh, that's right.
On
that's
a
probably good
deal.
Enough to get you through. I just was hoping for Farrell Brown to come back.
I know. Me too. But tight ends take a while to develop.
Where
that's
did
the
Brown
thing.
Go?
You can't...
Did he take off?
Yeah.
Arizona? I don't know. I'm just guessing. But
somewhere.
I know he left.
Yeah, but tight ends, they typically don't come in ready to play a big role as a rookie. Now, you just mentioned Laporta, and that's a great counterexample. But a lot of these guys, especially if you're going to be drafting them in the mid rounds, it takes a year or two for them to get their feet under them.
I remember thinking,
which is why I want to be ahead of it this year.
And you know, it's like, but it's the type of position too. You can swing on a guy deep into the draft, you know, fifth rounder, and you know, look at this guy Tanner
McLaughlin. He's Scottish.
Another Arizona guy, Scottish. That's great. 6'5", 245 every year has increased his production. You know?
6 year senior. Six.
Is he
five,
a 6 year senior? Well, he's from Scotland. What do you expect?
6'5", 244, 461.
You know?
Yeah, I mean.
500 yards last year, 45 receptions year before, 34 for 450. I mean, some production. Probably can get him, what, the fifth? Fourth round, maybe?
Fourth to
he's
fifth,
looking like fifth
here. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
how about Jaheim Bell?
You know? He seems decent. His production went down. What is his junior year?
Yeah, he's transferred from Texas.
Is that why he transferred from Texas? It looked
and
like
he
took a
didn't
hit
really
there in yards.
Improve. Maybe he saw the writing on the wall with Jatavion Sanders and got the hell out of there. But I mean,
he
I
had
was
a good senior season.
Yeah, I was just expecting a little bit more, I guess. Ben Sinnott is the one that's intriguing to me in the fourth round. Good athlete. Cade Stover from Ohio State is another one. Fifth-year senior. Pretty good movement skills. I think he can block a bit. It's tough, man. With this tight end class, I'm just not overwhelmed. And like maybe A.J. Barner in the fifth round from Michigan.
Yeah. Do you see Tip Ryman's workout numbers?
Yeah.
From Illinois.
Yeah, no, he's good, man.
It's kind of it's crazy. You watch him on the field and he looks like all he does at practice all day is just drive the sled. That's what it looks like to me. But he's 6'5", 270, ran a 4.64.
Yeah.
1.55 in the 10-yard split. It's his athleticism is another level. Now, changing directions, that's a whole different thing.
Right. I'm just looking at this tight end. It's very underwhelming, this tight end class. And I don't know what Eric All is. Maybe he's fantastic. I don't know. He's a fifth year senior from Iowa. So, I mean, generally you see more, top three round tight ends. I think there's probably three or four in this draft.
Is
Yeah, I
probably
mean,
about that.
gotta
Jatavion
have.
Sanders is one we kind of skipped over,
We
but
skipped
he's
over him, but
most
yeah.
people's number two. I was underwhelmed watching him. I didn't think he had a ton of burst at only 245.
Right, in a 4.69 at 245, you would expect a little bit better, right?
Yeah, exactly. And he only has seven total touchdowns in 3 years college experience. Kind of want a red zone target at tight end. So I'm pretty low on Jatavion Sanders, but somebody's probably going to take him in the second round.
I didn't get a chance to talk about Brock Bowers. I don't know if he's a tight end. He's just a pass catcher, man.
Very
Un
consistent.
unbelievable player. He could
Extremely
easily
consistent.
be, just based on like pass catcher, he could be the fourth pass catcher off the board. I
I
mean,
expect him to be.
he could
You think he
be.
goes what, top 12?
A lot of people have him going to the Jets.
If
Right.
there's no possible way he gets by Indianapolis at 15, in my opinion. And then if you're the Bengals picking at 18, I think they're 18, man, the Bengals would love to have that guy. So
Yeah.
tight end will probably drop. I know he's unbelievable player, but just the TE next to his name drops you down a few spots, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah, but he's a serious playmaker. All right, running backs. Let's close with the running backs.
So
Some of these.
funny how this position has just been completely, kicked to the
This is.
curb, except if you have like a once in a
Kinda.
generation talent with Bijan Robinson.
What about
Dude,
Jahmyr
hey,
Gibbs? Jahmyr
Jahmyr
Gibbs
Gibbs
went
got
top
picked at
15.
Gibbs. Yeah, you're right. But he wasn't projected that. Like nobody thought he was going that high, right? Wasn't he projected like
I didn't think
top of the
he. No,
second round?
yeah,
Probably, yeah.
Bijan was special.
Bijan, everyone knew he was going, but that was like the first running back in a few years, and it
Was
doesn't seem like
he
there's.
eight last year?
Top 10. I can't remember the number.
I wonder if are the
Falcons have
Falcons
the
picking
eighth pick this
eighth
year.
twice in a row?
They might
Huh.
be.
All right.
Yeah. So this is a running back class. Again, probably no first round picks because nobody really jumps off the page. And given the other offensive skill positions that are going to be going in the first round, it's got to be balanced out by the defense. But it doesn't mean you're not going to see some impact players. The number one guy on my board, Jonathan Brooks from
Yeah.
Texas. He's got great balance. He's got good play
ACL.
speed. The ACL is an issue.
Yeah. I mean, he was untapped potential coming into this year because he had Bijan ahead of him, and who's the guy who went to Chicago? Roshan Johnson.
Roshan Johnson.
So he had both those guys in front of him. It was like, okay, we got this guy. He's like a third year sophomore and he hasn't had the ball at all. It's perfect, right? Like you get a running back without a lot of mileage on him with this kind of talent. It's fantastic. And he was sensational when he had the ball. I think 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns, pass catcher as well, coming out of the backfield. He was I think the main point of Texas's offense, which is saying something because they had, three guys that are potential first round picks.
Yeah,
This may be a little optimistic, but 6 feet, 216, quick, decisive, kind of,
where's he projected to go?
I would
Second
say
to third.
third,
Really?
probably. Yeah, running
Yeah,
back,
it's
probably.
the ACL is an issue
Wow.
for
Yeah.
drafting him. Probably lose half a season because it happened at the end of last year.
Yeah.
So he might lose the whole rookie season. But he's a younger guy. Again, a lot of tread on the tires after having basically bench seasons for his first 2 years in college.
ACLs aren't what they used to be, though, are they? Like,
No. No.
I still think he's number one running back on the board. I think there's a huge amount of upside there. Shifty. Good vision. Maybe not the top speed you would want, but still really, really good. Number two, who do you guys have?
I like Jalen Wright.
Yeah, same.
Same.
I could even sub 4.4
speed goes a long way.
Yeah, I could even argue him as number one. I don't know. Maybe better than Brooks. He's got no ACL injury, which helps his case. 1,000 yards last year. Doesn't seem like a huge receiving back. He can, you know, occasionally makes some good catches, but yeah, I kind of like his game.
7 yards per carry.
7.1 probably yards per carry is pretty nice, right?
Yeah.
You see that? Or 7.4, I'm sorry.
I think he's really fast. I think
he was a junior. Yeah, he's quick, man.
He's fast. He can make people miss. He's got like really good ability to cut at you know, get away from pursuit angles.
And he's got good size too. 5'10", 210 is, you know, for running a 4.38, really nice size for a running back.
I think he's the best pass blocking back in this entire draft too.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that's massive. Like, you just don't get those guys, you know. So to bring him in as a third down back, maybe. I don't see the pass catching as much as I'd like to see, but I think he's
right.
I think he's really good, man.
And we saw last year the difference a super speedy back can make. The Dolphins.
Sure.
Dolphins made an entire offense out of it. I mean, what Jahmyr Gibbs brought to Detroit. Yeah.
He's dangerous, man. I wish we could have 4.38 40. You know? I wish we could get him in.
At 210.
No,
210, man. That's
it's no slouch.
He's got RB1 potential, I think.
Yeah. A couple interesting guys. Braylon Allen from Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Huge dude. 6'1, 230, 235.
Squats like 650.
He's
really
he's a moose. Boy. Absolute moose.
He's a baby too.
When he came out as a freshman, I saw him as a freshman. I was like, is that Jonathan Taylor? Like this guy's incredible. He's got different measurables, different height and broadness, but I thought he was gonna be a first round pick, hands down. No doubt.
Might be the youngest player in the draft.
He's 20, right?
He just turned 20.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, Wisconsin's crazy, huh? With these guys, 6'1", 235.
Yeah.
Third year junior. Runs a 4.4. He's squatted. I just don't see it on tape as much as I'd like to see.
I know. That's the issue.
His stats don't really show up, you know?
His stats are consistent. He's over 5 a carry, almost 5.5 a carry every year.
He had 12 touchdowns. He could be a definite red zone threat for sure. 12 touchdowns last year is pretty damn good.
And 11 the year before that.
I don't see the burst that I saw on, like, I don't see the burst that he tested at on tape. I don't know if that's just because he's young. He's still getting used to playing. I don't know. He looks like inconsistent. As far as making guys miss,
100%. Yes.
Looks like he's trying to play fast when he's 6 feet, 235. Like, dude,
square up and run him over.
Square up and run him over, man. Right. I mean, the linebackers are not built to take that anymore.
No,
he's bigger than most linebackers out there. Yeah. Certainly, most will linebackers.
He's interesting. He's interesting, though. He's
I know
a young kid too.
Yeah.
You know, two guys I'm looking at probably third rounders are Bucky Irving. I feel like might be the best receiving back. 5'9", only runs a 4.5, but 5'9", 192. I kind of like those stocky built shorter running backs.
I think he's got the best vision in the
class.
Is that
what it is?
Oh,
I mean,
my God,
dude. 413 receiving yards, 1,100, almost 1,200 rushing yards last year. You know, those guys that are low to the ground just seem to be tough to find for a lot of tackles. They sneak through the first line of scrimmage and then they get going. I know he doesn't have absolute burn away speed, but pretty good. Like you said, must be, maybe it's his vision just waiting for things to happen. He seems like one of those types of running backs that kind of has the patience to let things happen in front of him before he goes.
Little Le'Veon Bell to his game.
Yeah.
Man, just knows what he's doing. You know, that's what I would say about him. He's just, he might not be the best athlete, but you get the ball in his hands, he's going to make a couple guys miss,
Yeah.
you know, and he'll get
I'd like
forward.
him as a, you know, we do need a third down, you know, a third down running back, scat back type guy.
Yeah, I don't think he
I'd be
breaks,
worth
he
it
doesn't break
if
a ton of tackles, but he can make guys miss.
maybe in the
And
fourth round if he drops there, that wouldn't be bad.
that wouldn't be a bad pick.
Or
Guy I go to,
Marshawn Lloyd too. I like
Marshawn
him.
Lloyd, yeah.
7 point run rushing, you know, yards per average, 9 TDs last year. A little bit of a burner, runs a 4.46. Big frame, 220, another short guy, 5'9". Like I, you know, the it's like the
Built, well built.
yeah, it's like the Maurice Jones-Drew frame, like 5'8", I mean, Jones-Drew is probably closer to 230, 240, but you know, those guys are tough, especially in pass protection, just because they have that built-in leverage against these huge pass rushers. It's so hard to get, you know, it's a lot easier for them to get under guys at that height if they can
Right.
do it. You know what I mean?
Marshawn Lloyd to me stands out as a South Carolina transfer to USC this year. Played really well. Through the first like six games, I was like, oh, this guy might be a RB2 because I was watching Jonathan Brooks at the same time. Dude, the burst is
Yeah.
fantastic. You know, he gets a little bit of space and it's 5 yards. So it's a guy that to me has really good potential. There's a lot of these guys that are like third, fourth round picks in this draft that I would be pretty comfortable with taking, you know, at that point
Well, and you know, too,
and developing for a year or two, and then you have a player that maybe could be your RB1, you know?
And every year there's running backs that come out and it's like they're not highly touted and then they come out and they make a big impression. You know, maybe not always rookie season, but sometimes rookie season. We saw that last year with a few guys. But it's just there's not a lot of value put on these guys and they can be such difference makers,
Here's
you
a
know?
weird one. Here's a weird thing for you. At the combine, his height was 5'8.6. At the pro day, his weight or his height was 5'9.4.
Yeah, that's why you trust combine measurements. That's why everybody wants to
They
measure at their pro.
gave him the
That's why,
lifts.
yeah, that's the LSU thing.
Does it ever
Like,
get worse at the pro day?
it can't. No way.
It's always a little bit better.
It's always better when you're on your home turf and you're running outdoors and your own weight, your weight guy is measuring you. Yeah,
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels, you think he's actually 210, or you think somebody just leaned on the scale a little bit? Maybe
Yeah.
didn't calibrate it just
Got to
right.
wear his sneakers, nobody saw. One more guy too that I want to mention is Will Shipley.
Oh, okay. Okay, you went different case.
Well, than you expected, you know, not your quintessential running back. He's 5'11, 206, runs a 4.39, 4.4, which is pretty good. I just feel like the few times I watched Clemson, I kept seeing him show up and make good runs, make good decisions out of the backfield, made a few good catches, would just always kind of be in the right spot for that team, which is, you know, just a feel for the game, which you really like to see. I know he's not a big name. He'll probably go in the fifth round or something like that, but
I feel
just a
like when
really
he,
good awareness on the field.
I feel like he's not developed the way I wanted because when I saw him as a freshman, I was thinking like, oh, this kid's gonna be fucking. I think he was really highly ranked too. It's like this kid's gonna be great. He's like Christian McCaffrey, you know. That's what and when you watch him play, like I think he wears
He
24.
and then he feels like that a little bit, that type of player, like
He
an
wears that,
everything
yeah,
jack of
little
all trades type of guy.
5'11, 196, 200, like
Yeah.
almost built exactly like McCaffrey. And he looked like him when he played. And I just haven't seen the development I wanted to see. And maybe that's down to Clemson kind of rebuilding the last couple of years where it hasn't been the same. But yeah, I think he's interesting, especially as a third down back, pass catching back.
And with that speed, I
And
mean,
with the
he's
speed.
a track guy, track background.
Yeah. I think he's interesting. The last guy I would mention is kid from Florida State here, Trey Benson. You guys watch any Trey Benson? When I watched him at the combine,
No.
I was like, oh, this
Seminoles.
guy's fucking legit. You know? I think he ran a 4.39 40. with a 155 10-yard split, built like a fucking tank. You know, he's all muscle. You know, I think really good when he gets hit. As far as gaining extra yards, he looks like a strong kid. And with that speed, the way he tested, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to taking a gamble on him third, fourth round.
Yeah, I just don't want, you know, he might not last that long if he's got those measurables. 14 rushing touchdowns last year, 9 the year before.
Yeah, ACL, MCL, lateral and medial meniscus in 2020.
It's a lot of knee stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, still to come off that knee stuff and still run a 4.39,
pretty impressive. I mean, a lot of that stuff, the ACL is lateral.
That's true. Yeah,
you know, not as much training. I don't want to see the Patriots take anyone, but you know, I want their first three picks designated to tackle, quarterback, and receiver.
I gotta say, it's really frustrating when guys are like afraid to do the short shuttle and three cone. You don't get those.
I know.
You used to get all these measurements for everybody. Yeah. And you can get a better feel.
I'm not doing that.
How about 23 bench presses at the combine at 225?
At the
pro day. Yeah, 23 bench presses.
I mean, dude, the running backs are always just absolute mooses.
23 at 225. I can't.
Was it Eckler? I mean, they say Austin Eckler was like, could squat the most on the Chargers last year or 2 years ago or whatever.
He's a savage. He's a workout freak.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Trey Benson. Yeah. I don't know if he's going to last to the fourth round with that build, with that speed, production, all those different things. I think they're all going to come together, and he's probably going to go in the third somewhere. I'm with you, James. The quarterback, wide receiver, tackle. And if we take a tackle in the third round, it's going to be a project, and it's going to be a roll of the dice, and that's just is what it is. I want a tight end in the fourth round. I would like a second quarterback in the sixth round.
I would like a second quarterback later.
I'm one of those people. I don't care if he makes the team or not.
I agree.
Again, you're taking that 1 in 25 chance that you get a good quarterback in the sixth round.
Yeah, definitely take two quarterbacks.
We didn't talk about Blake Corum, did we?
No, I was waiting for James to bring him up. He's talked about all these short guys. And I'm like, what about the most well-known short guy in this running back class? The national champion, Blake Corum, who was phenomenal in 2022. I was all over him in 2022. Got injured, really changed the makeup of that offense afterwards. 2023, he didn't stick out to me. I think I had higher expectations coming off of a serious injury. It probably wasn't warranted. But he's highly productive player, difficult to tackle, difficult to find, as you mentioned.
Patient, right?
Very patient. Like, yeah.
Stays behind his blockers, knows how to use his blockers. Smart player.
Yeah. I didn't really talk about him too much because for that size, I like seeing receiving yards, and that's just something he didn't really do. You know,
well, they didn't. I think that was part of their scheme.
Probably the scheme. You know, and you give a lot of credit to Harbaugh. He just knows how to make these guys productive. So
it's hard not to talk about a guy that had 27 touchdowns this year.
Yeah,
like, is that a record? Oh, I think record.
No, Barry Sanders had 39 touchdowns his Heisman year.
Well, 27 is a fucking lot. Like
39.
39.
Holy shit. What
happened? He was sitting lots of fourth quarters.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, that is a lot of fucking touchdowns.
No, like, it is a shitload.
This guy's got 58 career touchdowns. It's a lot of mileage, I would be my guess as to why people are so down on him. A lot of carries. Like, and then you didn't see
And he averages 4.7 yards a carry. You know, it's like he's just your typical workhorse, and that's what he was for them.
If he falls to the third round, fourth round, I don't know. I still don't know. But would you be comfortable taking Blake Corum?
I don't want to take a running back before the fourth round.
75 or later. I'm comfortable taking.
Would you take him over a Malachi Corley, Javon Baker? What about Javon Baker, like Jamari Thrash?
Above Jamari Thrash, probably. I would probably take Javon Baker. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, these are the exercises that are going on in every draft room, every personnel office right now. Is this guy or that guy? This guy or that guy? And then you have to, you got to build this board that's 200, 200, 300 people, whatever it is. And what's crazy, do you remember hearing that the Patriots sometimes would go into a draft with like 30 guys on their board?
Yeah.
Because they'd be like, injury, nope. Off-field concern, nope.
Yeah,
too short for our position, nope. And they'd go in with 30 guys. You're like,
well, that's
what are you going to do when you get to pick 245? You got to take somebody.
They reached on people that, I mean, they did that for years, right? They would, we did a lot of reaching.
I mean, it's not even reaching. It was just like, just see what happens.
Yeah.
You wonder if they traded back so much that they were like, oh, well, we'll just trade back. And then the rest of the NFL was like, fuck you guys. We're not doing anything with you. And they're just stuck. And they're like, I guess we got to take our number 29th player on our board.
Yeah. I mean, we were just constantly just like, all right, you know, the draft's not that important. Let's just see what happens with this guy. I don't know.
I prefer the archetype / threshold, you know, measurements where like you have these thresholds that you need guys to hit.
Well, they did that
as far as size and well, I think that's like the Packer model, you know, and I think that's what is being
Packer model
installed here.
About
hey,
the Packer
that's
model.
That's what the Packers, Packers do. They
sucked for so long.
They won't
long.
Take a tackle with this length arms. They won't.
When
take
did
a...
the Packers suck? Packers have been great our entire life.
They had one of the best quarterbacks, and they couldn't win a playoff game if it was handed to them. Yes, they always
they were
got
in
there.
The playoffs every year.
Right. Well, you know, Aaron Rodgers. But he couldn't win. They couldn't win.
Packers have been consistently a winning team, not a Super Bowl winning team.
During the regular season, sure, yes.
Yes.
But at a certain
like
point, when you win
every
single
94.
Year, you win your division, and you can't win a playoff game, I just stop giving a shit.
Well, let's not try to be like those other three teams in their division.
Yeah, no, I guess.
Let's try to be more like the Packers. I think they do have those. You should be... to play this position 6'1" to 6'3", yada yada yada, all those different things.
Yeah, Bill's measurables were just very stringent. It's like you have to be 6'5", 280, plead Dean. Like,
right,
because
they hadn't changed since the 80s. They were
that's,
like a Mike
tough
linebacker
guy to find.
Should be 6'3.5". Actually, we had a lot of short Mike linebackers, but
we would not take the skinny small edge rusher.
Oh, never.
Never.
The super fast
like,
dude,
like
the
a
edge.
Speed guy. They got Uche never. Though, 235.
Yeah,
there's a little bit.
I'm a little bit of an outlier there. Yeah, but
well, that'll be next week, gentlemen. And
that'll
guess
be
what
next
we have
week.
Next week?
We get to talk about defense, and we
and
get to do our mock draft.
The big mock draft.
Yeah,
let's sell
fantastic.
It. The mock draft.
The mock draft.
Mock. Yeah. it'll be good. It'll be good next week.
Exciting.
Good to talk a little defense up front, and then we
hell
get
yeah.
to yeah have some fun with our mock draft.
Are we thinking about? I mean, are we thinking about defense at all?
No,
in this draft.
I mean, I'm sure because our coach is a defensive guy. We'll probably at some point pick a defensive player too, or it could be like 2022 when we just pick all defensive players, and everyone's like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Yeah, the offense is the worst in the league.
And there was no offensive picks until the fourth round. It's like, well, maybe we should have picked an offensive guy in one of those positions. We wouldn't have to pick all the offensive guys this year.
Take a kicker in the fourth round.
Yeah. Oh, can't do that again. No, thank you.
Assholes, dude.
You never know. And never know what we're going to do.
All right. We'll wrap it up. Thank you all for listening. Please remember to like and subscribe, rate and review. Appreciate you all tuning in, especially through this draft season. And we'll be back next week. Mock time.
Exciting times.
Good deal. All right. See you guys.
All right, guys. Bye.
Adios.